This week on RSBNB Update, the Zamorak demons invade, bringing slivers, rerolls, and lore. We revisit mobile with the shocking realization that 1 in 5 players play exclusively on mobile, and Jagex is working on a RuneScape survival game. What should we expect? This is RSBNB Update, episode 888, recorded Thursday, June 23rd, 2022. The 40%. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of RSBNB Update. This week has turned out to be a huge, huge RuneScape news week. I can't remember this the last time we had this much actual news that wasn't around an RS update, Tadis.
Man, so that's some feast or famine stuff right there, huh? We're eating good this week.
Yeah, we're just gonna hit it because we gotta go through everything. And my brain got broken last night. I'm gonna be 100% honest with that. We'll save that for later on in the segment. But also joining us this week is Parnassius. Welcome.
Thank you, and hello, listeners.
Parnassius has been a regular contributor to the show. He's made videos about how to exploit various Slayer creatures like Dark Beasts and Aberrant Spectres and whatnot for profit for their herbs and such.
Giants is a great one.
Yeah, that's another good one. So we're going to have a chat around the table here about the Zamorak demon invasion, which we were promised. Also, look forward at the next 4 months or so of RS updates. And some follow-up news on our mobile discussion from last week, and we finally know what Jagex's unannounced game is, and we'll go through what some of that means, too, as we round out the news section of the show with other things as well. So we got a jam-packed one here for everybody this week. Thank you for joining us. If you want to follow along, we have full show notes at update.show. You can also join us in our friends chat in-game, which is Bits Bytes, and we also have Discord at rsbnb.com/discord. All right. So this was alluded to in the quest, Twilight of the Gods, that there was going to be demon attacks taking place throughout the entirety of the world at some point in the near future, and we got that now in-game this week. They're effectively demon flash mobs, I guess, that reward you, except they have a bit of a lore element behind them too, don't they?
Yeah, and rather than having sort of all the different types, it's mainly just lesser demons and one big one.
Yeah. Tanis, any introductory thoughts on this?
I was just going to say that I like how they sprinkled in the lore drops, but, that was really cool. I will be honest, I haven't been able to kill as many as I would have liked to. I mean, that's okay, because those rewards for me, the chances of me getting or doing Zamorak boss, not all that great anyway. But I would have still liked to have been able to hit the full, 80? Altogether, if you hit it. Yeah. And I've yet to be able get all of
it's
them.
It's 4 per day that you can get.
Right.
Is it 5 per day? It's either 4 or 5 per day. I don't remember which one.
Oh, yeah, there's okay. A reroll and three other slivers.
Slivers, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they spawn every hour around the cities of either Ardoin, Berthorpe, Falador, Lumbridge, Varrock, or Yanil. And I'm wondering if I have a bit of a warped perspective on this, because I went in there and I was able to just get the 20 I needed completely done, mow them down very quickly. I'm wondering if that's the... I'm basically what I'm wondering is, will somebody who is not necessarily into mid to high range PVM be able to accomplish that with this update? How do you guys feel on that front?
Well, I think easily.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason I'm not getting them is there's people like you, Shane, that it's over so fast that I don't get that many.
Yeah,
I mean, I've done my 80 on one run, 2 out of the 3 days. The second day, I just missed because they all got wiped out. There was a very populated one I went to late yesterday, but yeah, you can go yeah, they were every 2 hours, and I believe you said that they've fixed that to every hour now.
Yeah, they hot fixed to be every hour,
which is much better. And yeah, I mean, if you only get two in one, well, go the next time and get your other two. I mean, and they're not hard. That's not a safe death. You can die.
Oh, I learned that the hard way.
That is very unlikely, unless, I mean, I just run all my AOE abilities. I go down with mage and just run all my AOE abilities.
Yeah, you know,
you only have to tag a creature. As long as you tag it and it dies, you're fine. So.
In hindsight, Greater Ricochet with Coroming, Corruption Blast, and Bombardment was probably not the best idea.
Were you running Soul Split?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Still died from that.
Wow, okay.
But in any case, this is an interesting event, not only because of we don't know what the slivers are going to upgrade. We know that the die rerolls reroll loot, of course. We're going to talk about the lore in a little bit first. But one thing I wanted to touch on with this, and Mod Jack was in the Clan Quest Discord talking to the folks release day about this, and he said this is their way of effectively bringing the lore of the quests to the surface world without committing to the full scale world events that we saw with world event 1, 2, and 3 and whatnot. It was that way to bring that change forward. And there has been a push inside Jagex to do that more. But the question has been, of course, how do you do that without, you know, putting forward a huge budget like we saw before to, you know, completely destroying, say, Edgeville and then rebuild it in that way. So this is what they came up with for this. How do you guys feel in terms of how it worked in accomplishing that, of bringing the lore to the surface world?
I wouldn't have put it in the same kind of category as I do like. Like I said, I like the lore drops, but I think that's kind of a carryover from a change in direction I did.
Well, the lore drops actually come from specific demons, believe it or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. But that's kind of like bringing the lore into all kinds of different aspects of the game, right?
Yeah.
Where they've talked about intertwining that. As for the events themselves, I mean, for me, it's very reminiscent of Demon Flash Mobs. Right, like very reminiscent.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if some of the code running under the hood is not necessarily the same, but inherited by it, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, Demon Flash Mods 2.0, basically. I mean, I like the way they've done it. I mean, I love the world events, but when you sort of you have to dedicate sort of 6 weeks of time to those type of things, I think this is a really good way for those. For the general player as a whole, rather than just those straight hardcore lore hounds chasing it and such, you know, you get in and out in 5 minutes' time, you know, get your little slivers and things which will upgrade your gear in the future. I think it's a really well thought out way of doing it.
I have a question for you guys. Obviously, we got the slivers and we got the rerolls and we got the lore coming from some of the other NPCs. What if these kind of things were to become more common with the lore in the game, in such that, say, you know, every 2 months or something, we had one of these 2 week long little events and you could take part in it, get some items that are relevant to the content that's coming out, and maybe throw forward a cosmetic or something like that, like a cosmetic override with that. Would you guys be on board with that kind of thing to create engagement?
Every 2 months, I think, might be a little bit too frequent. But, yeah, sort of 3 or 4 times a year, I wouldn't mind.
Okay.
I think it's a good way. Just, you know, it builds a little bit of anticipation towards those those events coming out and gets people sort of interested. Like, you know, Zamorak as a boss, I'm sort of in two minds about how I feel about that. But this is, okay, now I'm getting a little bit of a lore drop. There's a few little things I can get early access to try and, you know, help me in it. It sort of, it has piqued my, not my interest, but piqued my anticipation a little bit more towards the new boss.
Yeah. Also, sorry, Dennis, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, what I like about it is that it brings the story of RuneScape to the people that aren't necessarily into questing.
Bingo. Yeah. 100% right on that. 100% right on that. And, you know, on that same thing, Armadale, Azanadra, and Ceridoman will appear at these events.
Yep.
And the unfortunate part about this is that at one of the ones I was at in Falador, poor Armadale spawned behind the fence and couldn't get out. He was stuck.
Yes. Well, he's not known for his intelligence, is he? He's just
apparently he's not known for flying either.
He's just walking behind the fence trying to gain access to the fight.
You got wings, dude.
That's bad.
So that was just a fun little thing with that. But this also, I guess, goes kind of in what they were alluding to at the end of Twilight of the Gods, how they kind of advertised that, hey, we got Elite Dungeon 4, the Zamorak boss fight coming out. And this is just another way to grease those wheels. So I think that accomplishes this.
It's going to be at the end of an Elite Dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do like that. And that the dungeon is going to be from 1 to 5 players, so you can do it solo if you want to design that way.
Yeah, we'll get more into that after.
I'm really curious, because there's going to have to be some kind of story device, since we don't have our powers anymore, right? By all rights.
Mini quest.
We can't even stand up to, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's going to be something.
Well, I think what's going to wind up happening is that at the end of the boss fight, after you disable him, that's when you're going to cast the final ritual, because you are still World Guardian until you cast that ritual.
Yes.
So I think
we still have our powers?
We still do. Yeah.
Spoiler alert for people who haven't done the quest yet.
But, yeah, we should be.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But yeah, we've got our powers still. It's only once we cast the new edicts, then apparently it will take all our World Guardian power.
Okay. I was wondering what that was, and I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, so. Those were just test runs in the quest.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm really curious to see what the slivers upgrade, because there's one for each combat style.
Yeah.
They said it was armor, didn't they? Like,
they just said gear.
Gear. Okay.
Yeah. Gear upgrades, and I was thinking, well, we've just recently had ring upgrades. We've had the new capes. Are we going to get some sort of necklace upgrade, perhaps?
Maybe these are the things that are going to reduce switchscape.
Maybe.
Because they did say there was a piece of content coming out that would do that.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, turn
your two-handed weapon into
passive, maybe, or take the invention perk of it, because I know they mentioned planted feet and such. But anyways, we'll save all that speculating when we...
Yes.
Learn more about that. Probably next week we'll get a better idea of what some of the rewards for that look like, or maybe even in a few minutes we'll see the bow for the first time. I want to go through some of the lore that came from this event in particular, because they send you around, you go kill five different demon type monsters. They apparently have a 1 in 25 drop rate, which really isn't too bad when you think about it. 1 in 25 is not too bad for what we're talking about here. You'd have to kill a black knight, a greater demon in the wilderness, a monk of Zamorak, a Dagon High monk, and a Zamorak mage. So all these are relatively low level critters, which is good. So it's not something that you're gonna necessarily have to sit there and camp for ages out to wait for your bloodstained note as one of them. I'll just read this first one here. So this is from the bloodstained note that comes from the Black Knight, and it says, "It feels so strange to wear this armor, almost like a betrayal. For so long, I wore the white armor of Falador and wielded a sword in the name of Ceridoman. Yet here I am, and I am not ashamed. Ceridoman has come to this world, and what has he done with it? Are the sick healed? Are the fields ever verdant? Is death and suffering banished from this world? No. It's as if nothing has changed. Nothing. Well, Zamorak promises change. He promises rebellion, upheaval, and revolution. Progress instead of stagnation. Unlike Ceridoman, he will fight beside us. We will stride out across the battlefield together, and we will remake this world into something new. We will tear down the old establishment, the nobility, and those born to unearned wealth. We will break society's chains, and we will start a new world together, a better world. That is why I wear this armor, and I am not ashamed.
Well,
that's very Zamorakian, isn't it?
I mean, I guess you have to justify being a traitor somehow, right?
Yeah, it seems to be mirroring a lot that's happening in the real world at the moment, too.
It certainly does, doesn't it? And you know, we kind of picked up on this in iPad that Zamorak was going to be that foil.
Klaus Schwab?
So, I'm not going to go through the rest of the notes, but...
yeah, go and collect them.
Yeah.
If you...
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about... if there's any ramifications from the lore notes in the mini quest when Elite Dungeon 4 releases in 2 weeks' time, or I guess in a week's time from when you guys are hearing this. Yeah, about 10 days or so. Yeah, it's the 4th of July. So, yeah, about a week and a bit still.
Hey, July 4, isn't that?
That's American Independence Day.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
That's, Zamorak comes out to rewrite the world on American Independence Day. That's, I wonder if they planned that. The New World Order hits American Independence Day.
July 4th for RuneScape, kind of a significant day.
So.
In any case, 1 in 25, once again, from the Black Demon, or sorry, the Black Knight, the Greater Demon in the Wilderness, a monk, a Zamorak, a Dagonhai monk, or a Zamorak mage. We'll give you 1 in 25.
Just when you're going for those notes, if you are going out into the wilderness, take stuff that you can afford to lose, because there's going to be a lot of people out there camping those to you. I was going to say douchebags, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Who will camp there and just kill you, just, you know, to get there. To get their, you know, 2.5k drop or something.
Yeah, it's almost a sport at that point.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The player, as a player, we're not a nice person.
So we've been kind of dancing around the issue. Of course, we've of course got the demon mobs appearing on the world from Infernus, but we also now have a look at what's happening going forward with the legacy of Zamorak and the coming updates. So what we're going to do with this is we're going to run the trailer, and then as we progress through that, we'll take pauses at certain points and discuss what we see and hear. So let us begin. Okay, here we go.
Battle Zamorak in an epic new boss fight. Return to a reborn wilderness with optional PvP. All this and more coming in Legacy of Zamorak, RuneScape's exciting new storyline. Here are the updates you'll be playing over the next few months.
Zamorak, Lord of Chaos, is an epic 1-5 player boss experience, which scales all the way up from an accessible story mode up to literally impossible enraged difficulties. Those who triumph against Zamorak will be rewarded.
So what first thing that we have there that we saw... 1-5 players with story mode.
Brilliant.
Previous one were 1-3.
Yep.
So that means that anybody who wants to complete this on week one for the story and just to get a feeling of what it's like will have no problem doing that whatsoever. So we will have coverage of it this week or when it launches on the show, but we are planning on taking a full run through it with the usual PVM.
I do love the fact that they do story modes on these type of things for those people who, you know, aren't real PVMers but want to get into the lore and know what it's all about and such. I think story mode is brilliant for those type of players.
Yeah, and we also, for anybody on the YouTube version right now, I am showing the new bow, the tier 95 bow, which I assume we'll be learning more about very, very soon. All right, let's continue for a bit.
We'll be rewarded with some highly anticipated and incredibly powerful loot. With a free Death Week on launch, you won't want to miss it.
So be it. Die by my hand.
With Zamorak hunkered down in the wilderness, you're going to have to conquer an elite dungeon to get to him. Up to 5 players can head into the dungeon at once, with the dungeon's difficulty scaling to your team size. The dungeon uses an enrage system. As the enrage level increases, enemies' life points scale up. If you prove yourself enough times, you unlock the ability to bypass the dungeon, allowing you to take on Zamorak as many times as you want.
Feel the rage of a god!
Once you've made it through the dungeon, you'll arrive at the true challenge, the god, Zamorak himself. You can take Zamorak on as a brave lone warrior, or battle him in groups of up to 5. The fight and the rewards will scale with the number of players. Zamorak is RuneScape's first group encounter to make use of our enrage system.
So it's an enrage system, and it sounds like you're going to have better luck in terms of getting the drops that you want if you go with more people.
And scalable, too, which is scalable. What I love. Yeah.
And the next part of the sentence here is that the enrage doesn't cap at 4,000. It is unlimited.
Well, you're missing the biggest part, Shane.
What's that?
We took another bug and turned it into a feature.
Which bug are you talking about?
You can, once you've done the dungeon so many times, it said,
oh,
you can bypass straight to the boss. This is not the first time we've seen something like that.
Right. People got 2-week vacations last year for that, didn't they?
Yeah, they sure did.
All right. Let's continue on.
Like his predecessors, Zamorak's Enrage doesn't cap at 4,000. Instead, you'll be able to try nearly unlimited difficulties. For the first time ever, this will be tracked through our new Enrage high scores. The highest completed Enrage of unique players and groups will be locked, immortalizing their legacy forever.
PVM high scores.
Oh, they just handed the dick measures a freaking yardstick. Holy hell.
But that's, I mean, that's good for that, for those.
David's got his work cut out for him.
The good thing about that as well is it may actually bring some more players, the PVM type players onto Twitch and such and get people watching.
That's my thoughts
exactly.
I'm going
for the high score and all that type of thing. So if you can actually get that interest of, if your players on Twitch doing RuneScape 3 trying to get high scores on this boss, the more interest it can generate, we can bring new players in and such. I'm all for. I mean, it's not something I'll ever go for, ever be interested in personally, but hey, anything that can bring players in and get that type of thing happening, I'm fully behind.
Yeah, and then my next question is, can you then make the Archglacer and Telos so that they also have permanently scalable Enrage beyond 4,000 and add a similar high score mechanism to that?
Yeah, that, retrofitted to all the old ones, yep.
That would be my next question with that, because like you said, and I think we're all aware that RS3 definitely lacks something as some competitive nature around its Twitch streaming side, because of course old school has leagues and such, but we don't have that.
Yeah, and I mean, I kid, but this is the perfect fit for that.
Oh yeah.
It could have been something else. It could have been in the realm of Dimension of the Damned, but no, that didn't work out. I think for our community, in general, the RS community, this is the best fit, and I think it's going to make, I mean, I might even watch some streams, right? Like, I'm not really into PVM. I don't really watch a lot of PVM streams, but I could get into this, see how people are doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not a big Twitch watcher myself, but yeah, if I know that sort of someone, RS guy is going for, try and knock off the top spot and all that, I'll sit down and chuck it on for an hour or so and see how they go. I really do think it will generate a lot of interest in the game, and as we said, that can never be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something that people have always wondered. What do you watch RuneScape for on Twitch aside from seeing people push themselves in PVM? Well, here's an option now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can remember. Like I said, I'm not a big PBM guy, but one of the, you know, this was early on. I remember watching Solo Calphite King Kills.
And right.
If you remember back when that released, like that
was. Oh, yeah, that was a big thing.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you can't solo that.
Yeah, I was like, what? You can't. Yeah. Like, that's not even possible.
Yeah, and yeah, I think this will bring that, too.
You know, that out again.
Mm. And as Shane said, if they, you know, if this is successful and they can retrofit it to some of those bosses that are capped at 4,000 and start bringing that high score out, it can only be good.
Yeah, or even just do it for future bosses, right? Because you could just put every future boss on an enrage mechanic in kind of the same template that you did for Glacier, because we all agreed when that one came out that that was a good introductory to PVM boss. Well, do the same thing with all the bosses going forward, unless there's something simple like Matriarchs. But anyways, let's continue.
You never stood a chance.
A storyline wouldn't be a storyline without quests. In the aftermath of the boss fight, we'll catch up with Moya and Daughter of Chaos.
If the last few years of Epic Quest have left you not really knowing where to start, Daughter of Chaos is the perfect jumping-on point for the story.
Daughter of Chaos focuses on Moya, one of Bulrock's lieutenants, who has been attacking humans near the border of Misthalen. Adrastea views her as the biggest threat at this point, so she asks you to travel to the wilderness, track her down, and stop her.
As Basilissa, it is my responsibility to safeguard the human kingdoms and maintain their alliance.
As you're working with Adrastea's agents to track down Moya, you'll come across traces of Moya's memories. Through these traces, you'll be able to see flashbacks of recent events from Moya's perspective. There's some awesome gameplay segments where you get to play as Moya in a parallel story arc fighting in the Civil War. As Moya, you'll also get to have some cool interactions with other characters you wouldn't normally get to experience.
The Daughter of Chaos quest is the beginning of a brand new period in Gyllenhaal's history. What lies ahead is a brave new world whose fate is in the hands of mortals.
So with that, is anybody else getting the sense that this is kind of a way to showcase the alternate side of what Moya saw in, say, Extinction and then Twilight of the Gods, and that her perspective as a Zamorakian is now getting further fleshed out with this for people who might have wanted that perspective to showcase more?
Definitely.
Yeah, the only thing I'm a little, like, maybe you can help me out here, Shane. She's still part of, like, she's demon connected, right? And she's going to be in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's still the humanity against the other.
Yeah.
Like, we, you know, I was really hoping to see some Game of Thrones.
But it's not God's stake level.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's yeah, that's what I like. We're starting to move away from that huge, we're battling gods, you know, planet eater type things. We're going back to just us versus, you know, the bad guys, quote unquote. You know, like your vampires, your demons, your Marjorie, you know, we're battling other sentient creatures that aren't gods, and just, you know, that all-powerful beings.
And this could even be like, maybe that's too much of a, that would have been too much of a, like, drop where
right away, went.
Yeah, and so maybe this is like the mid
going
step.
Down steps. Yeah.
And I mean, who knows, you know, a lot of alliances that get together after they win
break down.
Problems. They break down. And
exactly. As I said, you know, beginning of the Civil War, you know, we're going to start seeing that type of thing happening, which I thought.
Yeah, and you have to remember,
way.
These people are also going to have seen their gods disappear and whatnot recently. So that's going to be a huge.
The Godless Rise.
Plot point for that. And yeah, we'll have to see if the Godless comes into any of that. And we also need to say that this is another clean break in the storyline, if that wasn't made clear in the video. So let's continue on.
Remember that feeling of dread you used to get when venturing into the wilderness? We're all about bringing that back, but this time not from PvP.
The Wilderness Reborn.
For the Legacy of Zamorak storyline, we are modernizing Wilderness graphics and gameplay by making PvP optional, as well as introducing a range of new PvM challenges. After looking at NPCs and content currently available, it became very clear that without PvP, there is no real danger. With that in mind, we'll be looking to up the ante with a reworked Mandra Slayer Master and a...
I just want to pull that apart for a minute. So they're upping the danger without PvP, but at the same time, they also say that you need PvP to do that, and it's going to be optional. So that seems like a bit of a contradiction there.
No, I think what they're saying is they're going to have stronger NPCs, which is fine for me. I mean, I hate the wild. I avoid it like the plague. When I do my criminal bolts, I'll quite often skip the three trees out there and just do the five in the safe areas, just because I can't be bothered with that stress factor. I mean, I suffer anxiety, and going out there, that can really trigger me. But yeah, if I'm out there and it's an NPC that's going to attack me, I've got to keep my eye out for that. I'm all for that. You know, if an NPC can two hit me and I die, well, so be it. I'd rather that than, you know, four players come around, tally block you, and then they just all hit you when you've got an axe and they're sitting there with, you know, T-85 weapons on you.
All right.
So we're also
getting
that idea.
We're also getting Wilderness Slayer, which we'll let them explain now.
Yeah.
With that in mind, we'll be looking to up the ante with a reworked Mandra Slayer Master and a load more challenging NPCs that he can assign. Should you wish to engage in this Slayer method, you'll be rewarded for doing so, particularly with a brand new Wilderness Slayer drop table. It's worth mentioning that all NPCs will be aggressive, multi-way combat, and not lose aggression towards you, regardless of how long you've been fighting, so you can ensure that no corner of the wilderness will be truly safe.
Along with the new PvM gameplay,
so, Wilderness Slayer, are you in?
Love it.
Are you in for that, Tanis?
I wish I wasn't 120. Hell yeah!
Oh my God, guys!
I wish I wasn't 200 mil.
Yeah, totally.
My ultimate is spending a lot of time out there.
All right.
I love the fact that it's multi combat. They'll never lose aggression, because aggression potions are great and all that type of thing, but I mean they are expensive when you're fighting, you know, some creatures that don't drop huge amounts of money making GP.
The only way. Go ahead,
Shane.
Okay.
I was just going to say.
Okay, you first.
Sorry. I was just going to say that this. To me, this is how Slayer difficulty should be brought up versus mini bosses.
I was just about to say the opposite.
I think having the multi aggression, the stronger monsters, but traditionally Slayer is the way to go. Because it's not a chain. You don't have to all of a sudden learn how to PVM to do a Slayer creature. This is true to the skill, only it's being brought up and the difficulty is being raised with the same mechanics that you're used to.
Yeah, and I was going to
training.
I was
going to
say that
Archmichael.
Yeah, I was going to say that this could be interesting to me. And I just finished that article about Slayer and why upping the drop tables really I don't think helps the situation. To me, this would be interesting if we were looking at kind of like a, let's just say kind of like a up the ante on the Slayer streak mechanism, almost making it kind of like a bounty mechanism and make it so that it's done purely in the wilderness and offer the choice between there of your traditional, you know, kill 50 to 150 of these Slayer creatures, or maybe on the other side do something boss-related instead on that same vein. That's what would make it interesting to me, is if they added a PVM angle to it.
Yeah, but see, to me, Slayer isn't bossing. Bossing, the best way they've done bossing, I thought, was Archglacor for learning how to use all, you know, go against different mechanics, do your switches and all that type of thing. Slayer is generally, you're laid back, I'm going to take one weapon type out there, fight as much as I can, you know, take my potions where I need to, eat where I need to. And I think having a more difficult version of those type of things. Because let's face it, no one dies in Slayer much anymore unless you're truly AFKing and, you know, that. So this brings that risk back and risk versus reward. Okay, I'm going to get better drops and all that, but I am going to actually face dying at these type of things. And without the one hit ripper drops. I mean, I thought that was the stupidest mechanic, especially for Aussies where our ping isn't the greatest and you click, but it takes a half a second before you move and, you know, he's dropped down and you're dead. I think this type of thing is a breath of fresh air that Slayer needs. And hopefully we'll see some more creatures released in that sort of 100 to 120 mark.
And they
there.
Say they want to increase the danger in the wilderness, and if they do truly manage to do that with Slayer without PvP, then that is something I will have a look at. But I honestly don't know that it's possible.
Well, you still have Reaper, Shane. I mean, what you were describing...
I know, Reaper.
Reaper. So, I know. I mean...
if they do something like where the Wildy Worm, rather just in rather than just in the one area, you're on a Slayer task, all of a sudden it can come out under you and just go bang, and you know, you've got to contend with that along with your Slayer creatures.
Randomness is never fun as a mechanic.
No.
Yeah, but I mean, you can watch because if you're watching, you'll see it moving in because the ground will be moving and such. I mean, that type of thing. Or there's other mobs that can sort of wander in, and you have to keep your eye out on those type of things. And I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. I just love the optional PvP because I can turn the PvP off and never worry about it again.
And the thing we also need to underscore with this greatly is that this has the potential to revitalize the wilderness, which is probably one of the areas that people frequent the least at this point. And it was obviously
such a large area of the map. If you look at the map, I mean, wilderness takes up 25% of the gameplay.
The free world,
and no one goes out there. So free world, yeah.
All right.
So yeah.
And in terms of revitalization, that's next.
Along with the new PVM gameplay changes, we're also improving the in-game visuals. This will not only set the scene for the Legacy of Zamorak storyline, but will act as a foundation for future content.
During the storyline, you'll find the Infernal Puzzle Box. This new reward item will get stronger with each Legacy of Zamorak update you complete, and the final tier is something you're really going to want.
There's even more coming up later in the year, but for now, get yourself ready to fight a god.
So the Infernal Puzzle Box and, of course, the Wilderness graphical rework. I think we all knew that there would be a Wilderness graphical rework with that, so that's excellent. We'll talk more about that when we see it.
We have to.
On our own. Do we think that this Infernal Puzzle Box is going to wind up being like the ring from the previous storyline?
Oh,
or is it actually going to be, something a little bit more? Because obviously the ring is a utility thing, but it's not something that provides you with huge amounts of loot, kind of like how this is inferred by saying it's going to be something that everybody wants.
We'll see.
Yeah, is it something you're going to have to wear in your pocket slot?
I just hope we don't go too far on the hype train with that before we realize what's happening, because
I'm not getting excited about that until I know what it is.
Yeah.
Because I've done that before. Oh, great. And, oh, is that what it was? So
bingo.
I don't want that feeling again.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo. Bingo.
Yeah. Like when you're expecting dino arrows and you get Iowa. Right. Kind of like that.
Both are good.
Both are good.
Both just are good. Both are
the
good.
The order.
In any case, we're going to move on to the patch notes right now. But before we do that, I'm just going to thank our Patreon supporters for this week, including Andrew C, Arounds, Arvids L, Big Huge Rat, Bryflex, Christian S, Chunk the Monk, Diana, Dominic F, Drama Free, Duramax, Elomady, Flaws of Man, Free Milk, Jade Gizmo, Jason S, Jeebus, Jesse W, Ling01, Lucky Ducky, Mohan V, Nate the Great, Nick G, OTR Gamer, Patty the Architect, Pernasius, Renhawk, Ricky A, Samuel FL, Skiotan, Scott DS, Seth W, Stubbeve, Tabby, The Naked Captain, Tom V, Zant, and Zazacon. Thank you, everybody, for making what we do here possible, as I say each and every week. It wouldn't be possible without you guys.
I want to give a shout out to the best name on there, Big Huge Rat. That is a great name. Sorry, I just had to call that one
okay.
out.
There you go, Big Huge Rat. You have a fan. You have a fan.
And I like the name.
Everybody here has access to our monthly bits, which is our monthly bonus show. Voting just concluded for the most recent one. And Tanis, I told you this was going to happen. They voted for, in a majority, again, the PVM boss tier list.
I think it's rigged. I think
it's
that's
really
the vote
not rigged. I checked the votes myself.
The votes should go back to whatever locality.
You need Dominion to come in, do you?
But I just want to say that Taxi, David, and myself will be getting together, putting this list together, and it'll just be like the Dailyscape tier list, except I imagine this one might be a little bit more nuanced than the Dailyscape one, because we have so many things to consider with this.
Unless you've got the two best people to help you out with on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But if you want to hear that when that comes out in early July, or you just want to gain access to the entire back catalog of monthly bits, all you have to do is check us out at patreon.com/rsbnb. Check us out there. You gain, like I said, you get the entire back catalog for as little as $1 a month. If you want to go a little bit further, for $3 a month, you'll get a special VIP rank on Discord and access to the chat channel. And you also get a mention on the podcast at the start of the month, in addition to high-quality stereo versions of the show. And for $5 a month, you'll receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use to make the clip show at the end of the year, in addition to everything else. So that's if you want to give the ultimate gift. And, of course, we are working towards the Hot Ones Challenge. And with that, just check us out at patreon.com/rsbnb. It means the world to us. And I love working on these monthly bits. I always love seeing which way you guys are going to go. And you guys in the Patreon community, I just have to say, have been hitting all of the marks with these votes. I think for the last 3 or 4 months, Tanis, it's been majorities north of 55% on all the monthly bits that have been chosen, interestingly enough.
Nice.
So
nice. And you know, all kidding aside, this is a topic that people want to know about, right? They want to hear what Vaxi and David and you, Shane, have to say about that.
Yeah
And that's it. And Shane brings in that sort of, you know, casual PVM sort of view, where the other two are that high end, really in depth, and that's good, because you get sort of all three views that way. So
yeah. Anyways, patreon.com/rsbnb. Thanks so much, everybody. And as I mentioned, onwards to patch notes we go. And this is actually Ninja Strike week, believe it or not. And we start off in the Sophonim Slayer dungeon, of all places. In that the Vital Spark...
patch note.
Hmm?
I said, these are... Wait yeah. till you guys hear these patch notes. These are good patch notes.
They are, because the Vital Spark drop rate chance now scales with the Slayer level required to kill the creature, meaning that Imperial Guards and Gorilla Axe now offer greater chances of Vital Sparks. And we just need to say how important the Vital Spark drop is, because you have this thing called the Limitless Ability that is worth upwards of 500 mil for this one threshold ability, or sorry, basic ability, that allows you to earn adrenaline faster. It's an interesting thing to play around with and use to build up to thresholds and ultimates and specs faster, but when the Limitless Codec is north of 500 mil, that's out of reach for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Or it was. Now it looks like we're down to 380 mil for this. Vital Sparks have calmed down a bit, so. And we went through these about what you can actually use for the Vital Sparks. So, and some of these came from codices of the past, or sorry, sigils of the past, believe it or not. Here's what you can make with 2,000 vital sparks, or 380 mil right now. You ready for this?
All right.
You can make the Golden Touch ability. All drops under your loot beam will be high alked for 300 mil. You can make Limitless, no longer required to reach 50% adrenaline before using threshold abilities. You just activate Limitless. Or the Unsullied ability, which maintains the player's corruption damage buff and prevents the monsters from taking advantage of the player's corruption status, obviously, for use in the Sophonim Slayer dungeon. Also, of course, Vital Sparks are used to make things like the Orthon Furnace Core, but you only need 10 of them there, so that's not too bad for that. But for all the abilities, you're looking at 2,000 Vital Sparks and presently 300 mil. So something definitely needed to be done with Vital Sparks to make them a little bit easier to get, I feel, for the price of what you're getting. So.
Well, yeah, and obviously Limitless is the driver for that, right?
Yeah.
It's good that, the harder the creature, the better the chance of drop, which is the way it always should be.
I never really liked the Sophonim Slayer dungeon, I will say that.
No, and I was going to bring that up. I thought it was in another patch note further down, but that is my favorite part of this, because if you spent any time in that dungeon, which I've spent a lot, it doesn't make any sense that as you scale up, the drop is the same.
Yeah, and that's actually the next patch note. As you venture deeper into the dungeon and fight tougher creatures for increased chances of scoring vital sparks.
Yeah.
So,
because, that's it. That's one area I still occasionally see PVM bots, and it's always at the lowest level ones, because, in the Scorpions up top, and in the, I think it's the Sulwars, or whatever they're called, in the lower dungeon for the Corrupted Creatures.
Yeah. Corrupted Scorpions' odds of dropping salvage have also been reduced slightly, so... Of course, the big story with that one is the Vital Sparks.
Yep.
Yeah.
They also redid how loot works in Shadow Reef, Elite Dungeon 3, in that it's now split into three different zones. So Zone 1 is from the start until you jump down the cliff after the first boss. The drop table is now bare bones and has been greatly reduced from the current live drop table.
That's combat, a lot of drama.
Combat XP has been reduced by a large margin. Just wait. Zone 2, which is from the end of Zone 1 until you jump down after Boss 2, remains exactly the same. And Zone 3 has improved loot compared to the current live loot table. And what I've actually heard from our contingent of PVMers in Clan Quest is that they like these changes.
Oh, good. I love these changes.
Yeah.
Because so many people just run that sort of first section and then reset and are making a fortune. So this makes it that you have to run the whole dungeon properly to get the proper loot from it. So I think that's a good change.
But, and they
kind
also
of have two minds. Of
okay,
that,
well, I don't want to get this last patch note in before you issue your comment.
Okay.
All three bosses have had their common loot tables buffed to compensate for the reductions in drops from Zone 1. And that was one of the big complaints, is that commons in places like the Elite Dungeons and Raksha have really fallen off the table. And that's what this fixes. And I think this partially with that push to do the entire dungeon is why people were liking these changes, at least from what I heard.
See, I agree in a respect that I think that's how Elite Dungeon is intended, right? Like, as it gets harder, you should get more loot. The only drawback I see, though, is the PVMers, they're going to cruise through it with no problem. But the people that were, going through that first zone, maybe they weren't quite so good at the PVM, and it was a way for them to kind of, make some change, too.
Well, you have to remember the big thing that everybody wants from Elite Dungeon 3 is the crossbow pieces, which only comes from the ambassador at the end.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like...
Most people are just farming it for the dungeoneering tokens.
No, you can do that in any of them in the first phase, honestly.
Yeah.
So, mini bosses are really good for that, and especially in Elite Dungeon 1, I've done that before to farm tokens as well. So,
Oh, I bet you have, Shane. We know how you like Dungeoneering.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when I got 120 Dungeoneering, I spent the last 1.25 mil XP from tokens.
I have 27 more hard mode floors to do before I've completed it all.
All right, moving on. Moving on from Dungeoneering.
I only want to get the achievement done.
The friends chat player limit has been increased from 100 to 500, and this change didn't take effect until the OSR update on Monday.
RS3 as well, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did.
Yeah. They always got me confused where it said that. So I said, OSRS update, is that meaning it's only OSRS
no.
or is it us too? So yeah.
It's because they share friends servers.
Ah.
And the friends chat system is based on that server system.
Fair enough.
Yeah. The FC versus FC arenas are still locked to 100 versus 100 in Stealing Creation, which makes sense because you really wouldn't want more than 100 people on each side in Stealing Creation. The overflow that occurred if too many players joined a team in Stealing Creation has also been fixed. And I think the biggest friends chat that is going to benefit from this and thank everybody for it is probably the World 60 Penguins group.
Yes.
So that's definitely a great change for them. All right. So that's the end of the Ninja Strike. Anything else on that one from either of you?
No, nope. I think some good ones in there this time.
Okay. Next, the Pride mini event can now be played on free-to-play worlds. To accomplish this, they moved some of the NPCs temporarily for this to ensure that everybody would have access to this event if they wanted to play it. And they also corrected the order of the colors on the Pride banner. Tannis, we had a discussion about this last week in pre-show.
Yeah, I mean, it was all...
We didn't want to jump up and down on this in case in case there was any community backlash that would grow from this. But effectively, what would happen if somebody wielded the Pride banner before this week, the flag would be upside down. And typically, an upside down flag is a symbol of somebody in distress. So it's good that they fixed this.
Oh, okay. That's what they fixed. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes more sense. Well, because you're talking about the order of the colors, I'm like, I didn't know what order, you know, it's all supposed to be in.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, now that makes sense that this is what was fixed. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Roy G. Biv. to remember your old color scheme of the rainbow?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be something like that. It might be slightly different. They improved the comm device, communication device, when teleporting to Zamrak's hideout during Twilight of the Gods. Scaffolding and post-war Sentista will no longer kick players out of the instance during Twilight of the Gods. Interesting bug. Dying in War's Retreat now counts as a safe death. We talked about this being hotfixed last week, but it's in the patch note this week for that. And the handed in all plushies dummy object can no longer be found at the Grand Exchange. Okay.
Huh.
Did not know what that one was.
Never even realized that was in the database, but there it is. And the polishing perk now correctly upgrades sea salt to Alea sea salt when mining salty crab latines in the Ark. And there's our patch notes for the week.
Not bad.
Okay. We talked about RS Mobile last week.
We talked about RS Mobile a lot last week.
We did. And they said that RS Mobile represented a third of the players. But now we have an article from mobilegamer.biz who spoke with Mod Mike, Matt Casey, product director for RuneScape, who revealed that 40% of the total player base is on mobile, and analytics from third-party app analytics companies estimate that Jagex has made $10.2 million from 1.4 million downloads of the RuneScape 3 mobile game. And I'll say that again, 40% of the total player base is on mobile. Then about half of that number play purely on mobile and the other half play on both. So that means that 20% or 1 in 5 players play exclusively on mobile. This broke my brain.
This didn't surprise me at all. I mean, I'm pretty sure this is exactly what we talked about last week, and you were closer to the idea that maybe it's people that log in once in a while, and I'm like, I think it's people that play on mobile, man.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember when I was last, like, rendered speechless.
Yeah, I've had a couple of friends, friends from years ago, who, I might see once or twice a month, sort of the last couple of years, but since mobile, you see them for an hour or two every day now because they've got their iPad, they'll log in at lunchtime at work and things like that. So, it hasn't necessarily brought in new players, but it is some of those casual players who play once or twice a week now can log in for an hour or so every day on, either on their phone or on their
Oh, we lost you there for a second.
iPad at work, so.
Yeah. This past Saturday, I'm just going to round it up. 23,000 was the average number of people on RS3. That means 4,500, 4,600 of them were on mobile exclusively.
Yeah. It just doesn't, it's not that surprising to me. I mean, honestly, when you think about it, the people that like Pronasius is talking about, they probably wouldn't be here if it was only on
desktop. And that's what Sirion said when he was looking at this, and he took a very keen interest in this story. He said, what this means is that if mobile had not come out, perhaps 20% of the player base wouldn't exist right now.
Yep.
And I think that's, I mean, completely possible. Mobile has really helped me, once I, was able to start working and stuff, mobile was my go-to. And it still is. I just, for my play style, mobile is totally fine. And I think, obviously I'm not alone now. I mean, we have the proof.
Yeah, and the 1/5 number, again, was very shocking to Sirion, very shocking to myself. Because if you go into the article, it says, in terms of a new audience and players that hadn't played the game before, Jagex says they found it harder to hold on to these players because it's an unfamiliar experience. And what was a bit of a surprise to us was the volume of new players we did see initially. And this is the second big question mark, because this leads us to infer that Jagex was surprised that they saw an influx of new players when mobile came out.
But I don't know if I really agree with that inference, because.
But that's what they said. They were surprised to see new players.
But they were top 10. That they were actually listed. If you went into the Apple App Store, they were actually they were a recommended game on there. So that doesn't surprise me at all, because a lot of people will try it. The thing they've got to look at now, they've got the information on those people. They've got email addresses and such. Now they've got to work out a way on how to bring them back. Hey, you tried it out. You didn't quite like it initially, but we've made these changes. We've got these new things. Come back and try it again. Here's 24 hours of free membership or 7 days of free. Just do something to bring those players back and get them trying again and try and retain them.
Well, and even if it isn't that, Pronasius, they have, you bring up a good point, they do have that data now, and they can use that for any of the games that they're going to be trying to publish in the future. And
bingo. That's entirely it. That's what this is all about. We'll get to why that makes sense after. But they literally said, what was a bit of a surprise was the volume of new players we did see initially. Which goes counter to what we were believing. Remember all the discussion that was happening in the first couple of weeks about how they couldn't get it into those emerging markets in the Middle East and Asia to bring those new players in.
But are they surprised it brought in new players? Or are they surprised it brought in that many that fast? Like, I feel like there's ambiguity around
the volume of new players we did see.
And that's it. And it shocks me that they're surprised that, because that's the whole idea of releasing it and having it in that sort of top 10 area. You want, you're expecting a huge influx.
This is what Sirion also honed in on, is that it matches what the player graph showed. A small bump on release week and thereafter, but after a couple months, everything leveled back to where it was before. And it's because of that that people like myself and Sirion and a few others who are looking into this felt like, okay, maybe mobile was just an extra client for the existing players, and it didn't do its job of bringing in new players. Because you remember that discussion we had, Tanis, back in September of 2020, where it was about finding those new markets for RuneScape.
Because that's what we were being told. And
right, and then then this is the point where we get to that this is a very traditional news piece.
Mm-hmm.
Which will make sense when we talk about our next story. So I'm just going to continue on with this. And Sirion's inference is that what we're perhaps looking at now is that Jagex built up mobile over the course of several years as maybe a player retention tool. And they built it because maybe they wanted to prevent those players from bleeding out, and it would allow them to keep the existing player base engaged for longer. And he said, if you simplify things based on the numbers, perhaps, like you said, Tanis, maybe those 20% of players would have just disappeared.
Well, and I don't think these things are exclusive. You know what I mean? Who's to say their goal wasn't that, but they knew that even if that goal didn't come out, it would be this retention tool, right? We need to do this no matter what. If we get extra players, that would be great. We're really hoping for that.
Yeah.
No matter what, worst case scenario, this will help us keep the player base we have.
Yeah. And he said, Sirion said, either we've been wrong this entire time, in this case, me and him, because it's largely been me and him who have been on that belief that mobile was primarily designed just for the existing player base after seeing it not penetrate and bring in the number of players that something like Old School did. Or Jagex is just releasing this right now to show what's happening under the hood and effectively reframe mobile as a success.
Bingo.
Spin it those.
Marketing
101. Spin it to a positive.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I think it means we've been extremely, prescient. Like, we just talked about this last week. Literally, while we were talking, he's probably given us an interview. So, and you know, every company, first and foremost, they're a company, right? So, I mean, all they're doing is making it sound as good as they can. And this is a good result, right? So, I mean, I wouldn't blame them for that. But yeah, you know, I think Sirion said they were retconning. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. 100%.
And isn't that what we said they needed to do all this time?
Mm-hmm.
get somebody in marketing to drive these narratives going forward?
Yeah. And I mean, in this case,
I mean,
you know,
they did a wonderful job
narrative of
it, at least in the gaming media. Yeah. I will say that.
Yeah. No, I mean, but this is decent, right? Because it's not false. It's a good kind of spin. It's something we've been talking about. And I really do think that this was kind of like the backup plan, you know, plan B. Yeah. Like, if plan A doesn't work, then we can always, you know, at least retain people.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, I've been saying they need to get ahead of this for the community aspect to in effect, make sure the community doesn't get led astray. But at the same time, when you're looking at this in the entire gaming ecosystem of the wider gaming industry, especially with Jagex wanting to be a publisher right now, having these numbers out there, I think, makes sense. But at the same time, why didn't we hear them yelling about this last fall?
Because they were still trying to get the new player. They were still under that belief. I mean, what I like about this, I mean, for those numbers that they did share, those look pretty good. I mean, that's a decent amount of money for that few of downloads. I mean, I know I'm
and
saying
it's not even a conventional
few,
it's not even a conventional really mobile is. Game.
No. And I mean, most mobile games, not most, but you know, some of the bigger ones, their download numbers dwarf that.
Yeah.
You know, like that's not a real big download number. It's big for us, but not in the, you know, mobile world.
Don't forget, in that 10 mil, that's going to be, you know, buying bonds, buying memberships, all that.
And
type
that's my
of
next
stuff,
question.
That's all part of the, yeah.
What do the in-app purchases look like for these exclusive mobile people? How much are they buying? And how much
that's
can they,
true.
How much can they keep keep RS3 keep the money flowing into the RS3 coffers, so to speak, or the Jagex coffers, I guess, at this point.
But they never went whole hog mobile. Like, when I spend money on this game, it's usually when I'm actually playing on my desktop, right? Like, I don't see this monetization method being the traditional mobile approach. Like, I don't spend more money or anything when I'm playing it. So I would think that would just be parallel to what people do normally in the larger game.
All right. That's fair, I guess. Mind blown. That's all I got to say about that. And I'm not going to look at mobile the same way ever again, and I'm not going to look at the mobile community and the RS3 community again the same way when I realized that potentially up to 40% of the player base is on mobile and half of that is playing exclusively on their mobile devices. I'm not going to look at the community again the same way.
Yeah. Well, we're not a majority yet. I was going to say we're a silent majority. We're not quite, but we're working on it.
All right. Anything else on that? Like, I feel like I was the only one who was sufficiently mind blown with this.
Yeah, the exclusive players was probably higher than I was expecting, but everything else is pretty much on par with what I would have thought.
All right. Yeah. Okie dokie. Well, let's talk about the future then. We know what unannounced or undisclosed game is now.
Kind of.
They announced three hires, including a senior producer, Maddie Harper, an associate technical director, and a principal technical artist who are joining Jagex to work on an undisclosed Unreal 5 open-world survival game set within the RuneScape universe.
Dude, I'm gonna have, like, ever since this news dropped, I've actively had to try to hold my hype down.
Yeah.
I am so freaking excited.
But like, let's also just remember, let's remember Chronicle.
I loved Chronicle. Netscape. Chronicle was a decent game.
Chronicle was fun, but again, it was that's a game that should have been released on mobile that never was.
Yes. Yep. 100%.
I played it occasionally on my desktop, but I mean, it was the game I would have, while I was at when I did work, I'd jump on at lunchtime, I would have played a few rounds, but I couldn't because it was only a desktop game.
Yeah. Think about this, a survival. Oh my God, we're going to be, I mean, fishing, hunting, wood cutting, fire making will have an actual freaking use. Like,
well, we have
all, it's like, we have the tools, we can build it. Like, RuneScape.
With the appropriate marketing, this thing could display 7 days to die.
In,
Yes!
In before Tanis comes on 2 weeks after release of this, going, I can't use any of the skills I wanted to use.
It's all combat. This sucks. I'm just surviving PvPers. They all went to this.
Exactly. That's the. I mean, I never get excited about anything I read until I see it these days, because I've been. I'm 52, so I've been disappointed many, many times on expectations of things that never work out.
Yeah, and that's a key thing here. Manage expectations. Don't get too hyped about it, because as with many games that are under development, a lot of them do not see the light of day. So until we have a firm release date, let's not count our chickens just yet.
Yeah. But Unreal 5...
for 6 years, haven't they?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Because, ModMark hasn't been sort of an active RuneScape developer a good 5 or 6 years.
They have the action RPG as well that they're working on. That one.
So this is a third game.
No, there's only two.
This is a survival.
There's only two.
So.
There's the RPG.
RuneScape, and then... Sorry, the second new game, I should say. Okay, sorry, I thought this was the same one that they've been talking for the last 6 years, so okay.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought at first too, but being a survival game, I'm just, what do you think, Shane? What's the chances? Are we going to get WSD control?
Yeah.
We should, right, in Unreal 5?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I want to talk about the people here, because these are some pretty hefty hires, so... Maddie Harper, who will be the senior producer, will work directly with the executive producer, product director, and product marketing team. And from planning to balancing team resources, she will ensure product vision and quality goals are met. She comes from Ubisoft, having worked on games including The Crew and Assassin's Creed Syndicate, to more recently Watch Dogs Legion and Rainbow Six Extraction. Guillem Barloy, the associate technical director, worked for both AAA studios and indie studios, worked with other games including Drive Club, Test Drive Unlimited 2, and Little Big Planet Karting. And then Gary Arduino, the principal technical artist, is also from Ubisoft, who has worked on franchises such as Ghost Recon and Assassin's Creed, and has gained experiences developing tools and pipelines for graphic production. So these are some pretty heavy hitters, proving that Jagex, the company who is at this point pretty much known just for RuneScape, is able to attract these people.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I wonder, though, like, none of those games that I can think of are survival games. So this would be new for even the new hires, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But you can, of course, still, apply all those together. And because there's, of course, going to be probably, I'd imagine, first, third person shooter type kind of things that you're going to need to do in this game that you can pull over from all these other ones as well, so I think they'll be able to mesh and integrate nicely. And the question that I think everybody's going to be asking for is, well, when do we hear more about this? When do we see a preview? And you have to say, with Jagex putting out this press release, actually mentioning that it is an Unreal 5 open world survival game based on the RS universe, you'd have to mention that this is probably the start of where they want to start building that hype.
Yeah, there has to be something there, right?
Yeah.
I have to hold myself down, man, because if I get RuneScape with WASD, I don't care if I have to survive. I will survive. Da,
da, da, da. Yeah. And the question I have, just to kind of bring this back to the ground, are survival games still popular in this era?
Not as much as I used to be, but I mean, but this could be different. This could be like, remember when I used to say New World, it reminds me of what RuneScape would be if it was in that kind of an engine?
Sure.
Well, just add a few survival elements to it. You know, some...
Wasn't New World heavily PvP-based?
Yes and no. I never did any of that.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, add a thirst. Add, you know, hunger. You know, being RuneScape, maybe they even add like a cold or something. Like, you know, you gotta build fire.
And when you think about survival, you also have it, I initially think 7 days to die, right? But remember last year's big survival game, Valheim.
Yeah, see, and I think this is more like that, right? Like, dude, we could get, I mean, okay, we don't get a
construction
report.
For what it's worth, Valheim was very RS-like and how it had skills.
Yes, but think about it. We could be building our shacks. We could be
shops to sell stuff. Imagine, you know, you're a fisherman, so you open a little fishmonger's store, or you're a woodcutter, you open your own timber mill, that type of thing. I'm hoping for something like that. But as I said, we'll wish in one hand, spit in the other, and see what fills up first.
Yeah, but the idea that I would be able to, like, you know, juke and jive and get out of the way when I want to.
Yep.
That's a pretty big deal to me.
You guys think we're getting an announcement this year?
I wouldn't say
we might get an announcement this year, but we might not get it released for another 6.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say it'd be a good year in sort of,
because this is the kind of thing you'd want to announce at a RuneFest, I think.
Yes, is RuneFest that's not coming back this year?
No, not this year. No,
no,
no, no. But I don't know. I'm going to be cautiously optimistic on this, and I'll say the exact same thing for everybody else listening to this. Just guard your hype with this, because it is still an unnamed in-development game that could be canceled. That is the unfortunate case for many games in development that don't see the light of day.
It is.
Yeah. The one thing I do like that it is going to take place in the RuneScape universe. I think they've learned from previous experience. Your IP, I mean, you've got that intellectual property in RuneScape. Develop games around it, because it has I don't like to say cult following, but it does have that sort of that cult-like following where people love the game, love the universe, understand it, know the lore, so use it. So I think they're hitting the nail on the head here, and let's hope they drive the nail in properly.
Indeed.
Yeah, and you usually don't try to hire heavy hitters that heavy if you're not serious about this.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, yeah, these people aren't going to be cheap coming along with the experience that they have and where they've worked before.
All right, sounds good. We just have a couple other quick notes before we start wrapping up here. We have two dev diaries this week for the art team, so we're not going to go through too much into all these because of where we're at time-wise here on the show, but there's a bit of an interview that goes into exactly what the art team does, everything from concept, environment, character, so on and so forth down the list. We do know now that Maud Stead, who used to be associate art director, has taken over and is now full-fledged art director, who also, I guess we could just say, is in charge of the general vision of what RuneScape looks like. So he's been at Jagex for 15 years.
Yeah, well, let's see what he does with the wilderness.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. Then there's also part two where they go into how you make things look like RuneScape without, you know, like this has been talked about before, pushing too hard on graphics that the engine, of course, has the capability for, but just doesn't look like they would fit into game. They talk about the creation of Krosis, and at the end of it, they also talk about the character avatar refresh when it comes to RuneScape's unique look and constraints. And I'll just read a bit from this. They say, as an example, we're still exploring the possibilities of an avatar refresh with extra levels of customization. And this is a highly complex and challenging project because the avatar is linked to so many other systems and content. Plus, it has deep emotional attachment. It needs to be handled delicately, and we want to be 100% confident they got it right. And they'll be talking more about the character avatar refresh in future posts, which I found interesting, and that's why I wanted to highlight that they're going to be talking about it.
See, you know where you could try new things and make things modern and do all the stuff that you always wanted to do, but you know your community would never let you?
Yeah.
New games. I don't look for this avatar rework to happen.
Nah, I don't think it's going to now.
No. We're too divided as when it comes to things like that. We, you know, we have a lot of people that I would say, you know, are very traditional. We have people that are like, yeah, I'm game. I don't really, you know, whatever. And then you have people that are real hardcore Fashionscape, and it better look, I mean, they're open to it, but it better look good. And I just think no matter what you do, you piss off some segment of the community. And that's why I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, what they actually have showing about that on the avatar rework angle is they have imagery showing that they'll actually be able to map eyebrow and eye movement independently of the face with this avatar project.
Oh, it'll...
They'll be able to, in effect, rig it much more like you would in a traditional game.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it would be awesome. I was here. I saw how people reacted when they changed something as simple as a cape. Like, and we're talking about your character's face. I'm all for it. I just don't see enough support to push it.
And I think we go back to a question we had last week at that point with the avatar rework. Do you pull it?
You're just going to find out what I'm saying is true if you do.
I guess.
Hear me now, quote me later.
Yeah. I don't know. I will just say that there's a lot of fun little peeks forward to the Wilderness graphical rework, amongst other things that you can see in these blog posts, and kind of get a behind the curtain look about how they are able to pull things off like that. And the Wilderness rework in particular in part two of this post looks absolutely wonderful, I will say. So
I'm looking forward to the most, the graphical rework of the Wilderness. It's going to look fantastic.
Yeah. They also did address skins because people always talk about the legacy skins and such. That's one I do want to go through, actually, the retro skins. So it was there was versions that had to be picked between the Dragon Scimitar and the Whip, of course. And they said that they've started concepting what the remastered Scimitar could look like and adding extra sketches, and they want players to let them know what they think of all the different options that were available to it. In particular, three different remastered options that are available, plus remastered, plus some extra detailing around it that would... be allowed to go through it. And, you know, personally, I honestly just think you need just the remastered. I don't necessarily know if we need the extra detailing on this. And this is at the very tail end of the last post, I must say. So it's interesting that that's where they put the bid for feedback. But
well, and I think they're kind of in a bind with it because what people are wanting is the remaster. But to try to not look so out of place
within modern RS.
With modern RS, yeah. But you know what? I don't think people mind if they see something that would look out of place when it comes like that, because this is, it's a symbol of like, oh, remember back in the day? Oh, I remember that. Or I was here at this time. This
exactly.
is what I used to
wait. Exactly.
People
and that's
would
why,
respect it.
And that's
like
why
it.
I say keep it as close to the original as you can.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Okie dokie. And the final bit of news is that The Beach is coming back on Monday. The revamped blog post for that is up. We'll, of course, have all the full details on that next week, including, yes, Tannis, you're right, everyone's favorite hole is back, the Dungeoneering hole.
Yeah. Beach better give me my XP.
I just hope that, I mean, I've got Master of All, so it doesn't bother me, but I do hope that, yeah, sort of the higher-end players who... Yeah, basically just chasing pets in a lot of skills that the skills I have there allow the pet chance and not just the fishing hole now.
Yeah.
Because that would get more retention down there with sort of your higher end players.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about this next week, but the changes look good to me because I think that, like, you have to give some, you got to give people a reason to do it. And I think this is just good enough that we'll be able to, you know, have our traditional beach and our traditional socialization and stuff. It's nice. It's fun. But it has to be good enough to pull me away from what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's fair. I can see that. And, I mean, anybody who is at the beach actively, you're going to get all the cosmetics and such that you want within the first week or so. So it's just a question of maintaining and keeping that engagement. But as we said, more on that next week once we actually get our hands on it. So we're going to move on to our picks of the week. Tannis.
All right, so I got a really cool pick. Right now, it is on Game Pass. But if you don't have Game Pass, you can get it. I think it's about $22 on Steam American. I know that because I bought it the night before it was released on Game Pass and played it like all night, so I couldn't do anything about it. But my pick of the week this week is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. If you are a fan of the old Turtles games, or you're a retro gamer fan, you like the old the beat 'em ups and the hack and slash and the side scrollers, this is a very, very traditional Turtles game. You can play as all the turtles, you can also play as April or Splinter, but it's very, very reminiscent of the first two Nintendo games, the Nintendo arcade game and the very first.
That's going Turtles way game. Back to the 80s.
Way, way, way back.
When I played those games.
This looks, you know, modern. It's modern graphics, but it's a side scroller. It's got that retro feel. I mean, you know, we're not talking like you're going to be seeing, you know, it's not like, you know, you're going to be able to like see blood spurting out or something like that. I mean, but it's just, I don't know, man, it's just such a callback. And I have really been having a lot of fun with it. That's my pick of the week. I've been kind of doing a couple chapters a night. It's probably, I would say maybe like a 7-8 hour, you know, story to run through.
That's actually really good for a modern game.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I mean, like I said, the way that I've been playing it, you know, so far, that's probably about what I think it's going to turn out to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just so fun. Like, it's such a callback to the arcade game. And even, you know how, like, the very first Turtles game, you drove around in the Turtles van and you'd have to go around and go to different spots? Well, it's the same thing now. But it plays like the arcade game, like when you're actually fighting and stuff, you know, and you can obviously team up with people, and it's just a really cool game.
All right.
And cheap, right? Like $22 bucks for a brand new game.
And apparently it also has split screen.
Mm-hmm.
So that also goes back to that too. So there you go.
Yep.
Okay. Sounds good. Parnassius?
Yeah, well, my one is it's a TV show. It's HBO Max one. On in Australia, it's playing on Foxtel, and that's Peacemaker. Now, for anyone who was a fan of the latest Suicide Squad movie, forget the one they did a couple of years ago, the new one with John Cena and such. It takes place a couple of months after that movie, and John Cena, yeah, reprises his role as Christopher Smith, or the Peacemaker, who will kill any man, woman, or child in the pursuit of peace. it's basically about him. There's a, rather than going back to prison, he's been put up in a new group to fight an alien parasite that's coming down and trying to take over humanity. And the beauty of it is it brings back a couple of characters from the movie who were just faceless, you know, who were nameless characters in the office, but they've become sort of part of his entourage in this. And Jennifer Holland, who plays Harcourt, one of the guys who was really weird in the first movie comes back. He's starring as Economos, helpers of his. But basically, if you Marvel is not great. DC is not great at movies generally. I love Marvel movies and DC TV shows, which is, yeah, it seems weird. But this, it's only 8 episodes long. Very irreverent, very politically incorrect. Yeah, you need to have a good sense of humor for it. John Cena playing the role of Peacemaker is just hilarious. You can tell the fun that they had making this show. The writer of it basically got locked down for 14 days. He had COVID. He was isolated for 14 days, so he decided just to write this. 8 episodes long. It got so many rave reviews and love. They actually, it was only supposed to be one season. They actually have renewed it for a second season now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, basically after 2 episodes, HBO said, you know what, we want a second season. So that just tells you how popular it was. But yeah, just great fun. It's basically like a super long movie. It's only 8 episodes, but it's that type of thing you sit down and I binge watched the entire season. I ended up going to bed at 4 a.m. Because I watched the entire season in a night. Nice. I just couldn't turn it off. It was just so funny. So yeah, that's my one. Just yeah, give it a check out. If you, as I said, if you like your superheroes, you like your comedy, and you don't mind, you know, some humor's a little crass, but you know, politically
even correct, better.
But there's a reason behind. If you see it and watch it, there's a reason behind everything they do in it. It's so well written, so well acted. John Cena, as I said, he just has too much fun in it. And even the opening sequence, there's a dance that they do for the opening sequence, which is hilarious. My son and I have been practicing it and told my daughter we're doing it at her wedding when she gets it done. So,
oh, God.
So you see that wedding? Imagine a big 6'2", 125-kilo guy doing that dance. But yeah, no, you'll have a lot of fun with it, and you know, it is HBO Max, so it is sort of rated R, a lot of swearing, right. a little bit of nudity, not a whole lot, but you know, it just really, really well done.
Okie dokie, sounds good. Before we go on to achievements, I just want to let everybody know that the RSB&B weekly gaming events are back every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern in the RSB&B Discord server. Games are happening. This is an event that started years ago, kind of went on pause back in 2015. We just brought it back a couple weeks ago, and the way this works for anybody who hasn't been to one is that we run polls to determine what the upcoming game is going to be for the next week. We've been doing Half-Life 2 Deathmatch for the past couple of weeks, but there's now a poll up in the RSB&B Discord. If you want to attend one of these, the choices for the coming week are Half-Life 2 Deathmatch, Team Fortress 2, Halo Master Chief Collection, Rocket League, Jackbox, Golf with Your Friends, or Trouble in Terrorist Town. Trouble in Terrorist Town is a source-based game, kind of like Among Us. But if you want to join, all you got to do is just pop in Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern, and we look forward, of course, to seeing all you guys there. And do vote in the poll in the RSBNB Discord. That'll be pinned in there for anybody who wants to find that by the time this episode is out. So we look forward to seeing you all there next Tuesday. All right. Now we're going to move on to achievements. I didn't mess up the order this week, Tanis. We're good.
That's so, right. You didn't forget.
Starting off on the 22nd, we have Nero S. with 99 prayer. Sparty Pants with 120 smithing. Battle Slash X got 99 runecrafting and firemaking on June 21st.
And continuing on June 21st, we have Dennis with 200 million magic XP. Podio 22 with 99 strength, also on June 21st. June 17th saw Sid Rains with 120 herblore. And also on June 17th, Clean Tossels with 120 archaeology.
Nicely done.
All right. Yeah, and then moving on, we have Mothum Natha with 99 prayer and 99 invention on the 17th. Then we have Donna with 99 magic on the 16th, and Lore Deluxe with 99 magic on the 16th as well.
Well
done. Congratulations, everyone.
Well done.
Yeah, very nice.
So, Tanis, what have you been doing on RS Mobile this week, dare I ask?
Well, on mobile, I'm a working man, Shane. Somebody's got to work in this game to provide those plate bodies for people. So, I put in my honest day's work, and then I've been on the desktop to do the demon mobs here and there.
Right.
Like I said, the first couple times, I wasn't quite getting the numbers I expected. But now that it's hot fixed, I might try to do it again and, you know, give it a shot. I also, it sounds like I was on populated worlds because you guys didn't sound like you had the same trouble. So,
yeah, I should have mentioned the way I was finding it is I just went to the Legacy of Zamorak channel in the official Discord and they were calling them out there.
Okay.
Yeah, that should have been mentioned earlier.
But yeah, I mean, pretty normal week for me, checking out the new stuff and then going back and working on making a living so that I can someday afford to have some gear.
Yeah, that gear is always an interesting question. Let us know when it's time for that and we'll have that discussion about which way you want to go on that, because there's plenty of good choices and it might actually be less expensive than you're thinking it will be for what you need.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, because I've never had this much money ever, and it's nothing. It's like nothing if I were to go and buy, PVM gear. So.
Okay, fair enough. What have you been up to, Parnassius?
Basically just AFKing a lot of Yak Track, just going through the different tasks. I used one skip on the agility one because I just couldn't be bothered doing that, and it was 50 game ticks to complete it, which is, I think, it was about 5 hours play, so I thought I'll just skip that one. So completed that yesterday. Other than that, just doing my clue scrolls. I've got 800 of each between easy and elite banked caskets so far. So 200 more to go in each of those. 201 of the masters, and just working on even though I'm 200 mil archaeology, just down getting the red rum relics, I think they are.
Tetra compasses,
that's the one, because I seem to get one in three of those gives a master clue. So I want to try and get as many master clues as I can done as well.
You also got the 1 in 100 Dragon Matic chance and the very rare key chance as well.
Yes, I do. I wouldn't mind a Tony's Matic, just to say I've got one. But other than that, been down to the Twin Furies the last few days, just trying to finish off that drop log. I need one pet and one blade to go to complete that, and that's basically it for me.
All right, sounds good. Sounds good. As for me, largely just working on the same Yak Track stuff. I'm almost done making another 25,000 Dynaros.
Very nice.
I'm hoping that there will be a huge push for those on launch week.
What are you putting any of the anima on them, or just making just the dino arrows and let people put their own anima?
I have a stack of jazz anima. I'm betting that will be useful.
That's the one. Fair enough.
Yeah. But aside from that, I have been going weekly to Iowa, as you call it, Tanis, doing the weekly there with the Anachronia resources, and I only have two stories left to get.
Sorry, that was the other thing I did. I did complete that on Tuesday as
well.
Yeah,
and I think then with their grace period, they set that appropriately then, because I've been seeing a lot of people start to complete it in the last couple of weeks or so.
Yeah, no, I think the grace period was pretty well timed on that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that I have a Master Quest Cape or I'm going for a Master Quest Cape or anything. I mean,
the best caping game?
I mean, I last time I said that, it was about a comp requirement, and this isn't necessarily to mean I'm going to be going for Master Quest when I get that. I'm not saying that, but you never know. I didn't think I'd get comp this year either, but there we were.
Well, but, once you look at the list, and you're like, oh, well, there's only... I only have this and this.
Oh no! I got like 50 plus Master Quest requirements left.
Yeah, that's a good thing about those requirement that little drop table there, because you can have a look and say, "Oh wow, I've only got like this many left," and just give you something to do. And when you're bored, you can just click it up and say, "Hey, look, I might tick off one of those because I'm bored and not knowing what to do."
Yeah, but then the problem is that I start on that, and then that's all I do for the next 6 months. In game.
That's the problem? I thought that was RuneScape.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
Well, but then what do you do after that?
The next thing?
The next achievement.
Then after that?
The achievement after that one.
Same thing.
There's always achievements there.
You always have PVM.
That's true. We always have PVM. I got to get more people into raids, I think.
I'm gonna start raids again.
Because I didn't like their answer last week on that.
What was their answer?
Shane.
MazCab is effectively done and done.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the group you're with that's running it is like the only regular people I know of that run that. Like, you basically were trying to encourage people to go buy cassette tapes. Right? Like,
I wouldn't go that far.
No, it's well, more like, I mean, CDs, like, these days.
Yeah, it might be DVDs.
You make CDs now.
Right? Yeah. CDs. You're right.
But, I mean, it's good money. I made like 60 mil from it in the last 2 weeks in terms of the commons and the codex I got.
Right, but you haven't even popped the money machine yet.
Telos.
Mm-hmm. You probably make more than that in 2 weeks.
I could probably make more than that in an hour if I wanted to.
Probably.
I don't know. I just, Telos never really spoke to me. Same thing with Raksha.
Huh.
Those ones really just never resonated with me. A bit of a preview there to the boss tier list. Yep. Alrighty. Well, I think that's it for this episode of RSP&B Update. There's really not much else to say. If you do want to subscribe to the podcast, get it delivered automatically to you, that's the best way to do it. So you'll have it as soon as it is launched. Just head on over to update.show/subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Amazon, Pocket Casts, anywhere you get podcasts, really. You can find us. Just search for RSP&B Update or even RuneScape and we'll show up. We're also on YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB, which is where we post the video versions of the show and, of course, the nibbles, amongst other things. And if you find those useful, you just like the show, please do give us a like and subscribe there. It really helps the channel out. Like and subscribe on the episodes, too. Really helps the channel out. And With that, I think we can say that we'll be back next week for another episode of RSVMB Update, diving deeper into the legacy of Zamorak and the beach. We'll see you then, everyone. Take care.
See ya.
Happy Skyping.